Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 4, verses 31 to 34. John chapter 4, verses 31 to 34. And the topic of this lesson today we'll call Meat to Eat. Meat to Eat. Let's read John chapter 4, verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now I'd like to comment on verse 34, but I think I'm going to wait until we get into the lesson tomorrow, because I really want us to pay attention to what transpired here when the disciples showed up on the scene. The woman left the well after talking with the Lord Jesus Christ, after realizing that he in fact was the Messiah, that he was in fact Jesus Christ, and she wanted to go tell her friends about him so that they could come back and see him for themselves. And so while she went away to go find these people and bring them back, this conversation with the disciples took place, and that's when they urged him to eat because lunchtime had passed. And that's when he took the opportunity to give them a little instruction about food and told them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And when he said that, that caused them to query, to wonder, somebody bring him some food while we were gone? And then he gave them the spiritual answer, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, today there is a tremendous amount of attention on food. Fat preachers, lots of radio and magazine time spent on health and diet topics and diet plans and health plans. And we've got health clubs popping up all over the place and nutritional centers selling all kinds of vitamins. And one guy comes up with a revolutionary product, supplemental drink. The next guy comes up with a revolutionary supplemental pill. When somebody else comes up with a revolutionary supplemental pill, somebody else comes up with another revolutionary supplemental drink. And the drink is better than the pill, and the pill is better than the drink, and on and on and on they go, promoting one and running down the other. I mean, it just wasn't that long ago when colloidal silver was the big deal, and everybody was drinking colloidal minerals. And if you didn't have those, then your body was going to grow old and decrepit in the next 6 months, and you passed up this great opportunity for just, you know, $50 a month to get this bottle of tonic. And on they go. And I don't mean to make too much fun of this, because it is important nonetheless to take care of your body. But my goodness, man, everywhere you turn, there's restaurants and we have better food than the next guy down the road. And I realize you've got to take care of yourself. I take care of myself. I'm careful about the things that I eat and the things that I don't eat. And I take some supplemental things. But you know something? People are doing this today to the neglect of their spirit. And you should take care of yourself, but not to the neglect of your spirit and not to the neglect of your spiritual necessities. At some point in time, bowing your head over a plate of food and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to bless it should do some things for you and for your nutrition and for that food that no amount of money and no amount of earthly supplements can take care of. I remember working with a 76-year-old man, and that fellow was in good health. We were building together. And I asked him, I said, you must take some vitamins. And he laughed. He just giggled, and he said, no. I said, why not? He said, expensive urine. You know that ad that you hear on the radio with the toilet flush and all that kind of thing? That's true of a lot of that stuff, expensive urine. 76, and the guy was the epitome of good health. How'd he do it? He prayed over his food. He watched what he ate. He asked God to give him health and wisdom, and he worked. Didn't have any retirement for that fella. You see, the Pharisees were always picking on Jesus about his food and about drink. I mean, to the point that they even accused him of being a glutton and a wine bibber, which is kind of a strange thing if you think about it, because they obviously did not know Jesus Christ well enough to understand how funny their accusation against him really was. Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children." They accused him of something that obviously they knew nothing about in his life. Listen, they weren't even close to the truth when it came to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why. When you get to looking at this thing he said here, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work," I'm telling you, if anybody in the Bible could skip a meal to do something for God, it was Jesus Christ. I mean, have you forgotten so soon? Mark chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. He'd picked his disciples, given them an opportunity to go out and perform the miracles that he was performing. And then they went into a house. In Mark chapter 3, verse 20, "The multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he's beside himself." The point being, he won't even take nutrition. These people come begging for help, and he'll go out and skip a meal just to have the opportunity to minister to them. That was Jesus Christ. It was more important to him to take care of the needs of the people that he had come to, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, than it was to nourish his own body. I mean, his training for the ministry, all right, involved a 40-day and 40-night fast. Look in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 2, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered." So 40 days Jesus Christ stayed out there in the wilderness in a training program, if you will, conducted by the Holy Spirit himself, and made worse, intensified, that was what I was thinking of, intensified by the devil himself. And they're worried about a glutton and a wine bibber? They didn't know him. Jesus Christ was prone to skip meals in order to minister, skip meals in order to make himself a better vehicle, a better tool, a better minister for the Lord God. Listen, when Jesus Christ was out there in the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil to eat, he didn't give in. What did he do? He quoted Scripture. Now, we want to look at one of those scriptures he quoted, because we're going to get the cross-reference on it, and you're going to learn something about food right here. In Luke chapter 4, again, Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, he's quoting the Old Testament when he says that. And he reminds me of Job. Job said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." That's what Job said. "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Now let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, okay? Because this is what Jesus Christ quoted to the devil. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And this is Moses explaining to the Jews why certain things happened to him out in the wilderness. Look at verse 2 for the context. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look at verse 2. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to what? Suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that, and this is what Jesus Christ quoted to the devil, man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So Jesus Christ, when tempted by the devil, fought off that temptation by quoting Scripture, but the one that he chose to quote is one that's very important for us in light of the fact that Jesus Christ told his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, not to sit here and worry about skipping a meal at lunch over here at this well when I'm trying to get this woman saved. So when we consider meat to eat, I have meat to eat that you know not of, you and I have to remember something, that this, all this attention on nutrition, all this attention on bodybuilding, all this attention on food, all this attention on supplements can go way too far, and I believe has gone way too far, because it appears now that many neglect their spiritual well-being and concentrate mostly on their physical well-being, and that, my friend, is not what Jesus Christ would do. You know, people walking around wearing bracelets and necklaces that say, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, he wouldn't do this. He wouldn't do this at all. He'd spend more time in the book, a lot more time in the book. You know, the funny thing about it is it was the Pharisees that accused Jesus Christ of being a glutton and a winebibber, when in fact it was the Pharisees who were the ones that were constantly worried about food and its preparation and their preparation in order to consume it. They were always needling Jesus Christ about it. And at the appropriate time, he got them back with some of their own problems concerning food. Now go to Matthew chapter 15. We won't take time to read all 20 verses of the first part of the chapter, but all 20 verses concern this topic. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? What a horribly deluded and deceived people the Pharisees and the scribes had become. So concerned about all the things of the flesh that they had lost the very understanding that in fact it was the words of God that they needed to consume, and that if they had consumed those, the words of God would have cleansed their insides and made them meet to be partakers of food, even whether or not they had washed their hands. But they're jumping on the disciples about this. They don't wash their hands before they eat. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Then he jumped them out about disobeying the commandments of God and then setting up their own commandments and trying to obey those. Jesus went on to say in verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, good profession, and honoreth me with their lips, good profession, but their heart is far from me. And of course, that's what Jesus Christ is after. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, Jesus Christ used this as an opportunity to instruct the people that were around him. So in verse 10, he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. And what's the reason? Well, the stuff that goes in the mouth goes right through the body and goes out in the draft or the sewer. But what comes out of the heart, that's the thing that defiles the man. Because why? Verse 18, Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. The Pharisees were guilty of all those things. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. So Jesus Christ, when he was accused about eating habits, and when his disciples were accused of eating habits, set the record straight. The trouble is with the heart, not with the flesh. And so all this concentration on nutritional things, health products, dietary concerns, A lot of it would clear up if people would tend more to their heart condition and spend more time in the words of God. Otherwise, they turn out being like the Pharisees. And truthfully, I can assure you, you don't want to be a Pharisee. Just be sure you hadn't turned out to be one. Now, why were the Pharisees so worried about food? The reason is their God was their belly. Look in Romans 16, verse 18 as an example. Say, preacher, what are we doing here today? Why are we just taking these few verses and spending this entire radio broadcast dealing with them? For this simple reason. Because I know of a lot of Christians today who are neglecting their spiritual matters by dealing with these fleshly matters of nutrition, and they're out of balance. They've gone too far. And I just wanted to remind you that if you're concerned about doing what Jesus would do, remember when he was offered food at a time when he was involved in spiritual matters, he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And I want to encourage you that knowing what God has you here to do and finishing that work is going to be a whole lot more important than being able to maintain abdominal muscle pattern that looks real good in the mirror, if you know what I mean. Now, the God of the Pharisees was their belly. That's why they got so messed up about it. And my concern is that it's possible a number of our Christian friends have messed up a little bit, gotten out of balance a little bit, off just a little bit, maybe more, but a little bit for sure, and now their God is their belly, more concerned about what's going in than what's coming out. Look in Romans chapter 16 at verse 18. Paul said about some people that gotten off on some doctrinal matters, they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. It troubles me a great deal, as much as we need preaching and teaching in this country, that a lot of our airtime is being taken up now with health and beauty aids. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Here's another problem. Some enemies of the cross of Christ, what's their problem? Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame, and who mind earthly things. Don't go out of balance there. If you find yourself teetering where you're spending more time in the gym and more time mixing your protein drinks and more time with your supplements and more time studying up on these matters and more time with those kinds of conditions and less time in the book or no time in the book, may I encourage you today to do what Jesus Christ would do and remember that you do have some meat. And that meat is to do the will of him that sent you and to finish his work. Now, I understand why it is easy to get tied up with these things of the flesh. Solomon understood it too. He said in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 26, he that laboreth, laboreth for himself. Why? For his mouth craveth it of him. I understand that. You get hungry, so do I. And your mouth begins to crave things, and you know that if you eat the wrong things, they make you fat and stuffy and fog-headed and everything else, and so you want to take care of your body. And indeed, you should to a point. But the point is that people get so tied up with these physical matters of the flesh and the belly that often what happens is they can hardly grasp spiritual truth for all these thoughts concerning health and food. Look in John chapter 6. I'll give you a great example here. John chapter 6, look at verse 26. John chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. They were coming back for more food. What was his admonition? John chapter 6, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And so they started looking for a sign and all that kind of stuff. They had a discussion here about manna from heaven, all that kind of stuff. Jesus said in Verse 33, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Changing the whole attention of that group of people away from satisfying the hunger of their belly to satisfying the hunger of their soul. Satisfying the hunger of the soul. What's the deal here? Well, the deal is that your belly is temporary. All this stuff concerns fleshly stuff. And even though God Almighty gives us an appetite and gives us the ability, because we're working, to enjoy the food that we can buy with the money that we make from the work that we do, he doesn't want to get hung up on it. I mean, keep some balance here. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 at verse 18. It doesn't mean that you got to be an old fuddy-duddy and not enjoy your foods. You can do that. Ecclesiastes 5:18, behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also, to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to bow your head over a plate of food and thank God for the provision and sit down and really, really enjoy the provision of God Almighty. It's a great privilege. But don't lose sight of the fact that what you're putting in your body and the body that you're using to enjoy that stuff is one day going to croak. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13, Paul tells us clearly, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. This all has a happy ending. So don't get so tied up and out of balance with this stuff. I believe that Christians are more now concerned in many cases with food and health than they are with lost souls and Bible reading and prayer. So what are we to do? Well, do what Jesus Christ said to do. That's what everybody wants to do these days. They ask themselves the question on their billboards and their t-shirts. What would Jesus do? Well, he told you what he would do. He said, My meat is, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So what is that you should do then? If you want to be like Jesus, do what he said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, this is what he said. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't disobey that command. I know how it is. You go down SPID and what do you find? Restaurants and clothing stores in the malls, all up and down the road there. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He knew exactly what he was talking about. But he reminded you, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. You know, really and truly, Americans are too prosperous these days and have so much money that we're left with umpteen choices about where to spend it. And oftentimes we can spend it to fulfill our appetite. And in fulfilling our appetite, we're actually putting things in the body that aren't that good for us. Better to be very charitable with the Lord and then ask him what to do about the food. What should we eat or what should we drink? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Thank God when you can enjoy a good meal, but don't get bent out of kilter on the thing, okay? Control the appetite is the second thing you can do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Second thing to do, control the appetite. That seems to be the other problem. People are carried away with an appetite now they cannot control, and so they're always looking for dietary pills and other types of things to take to burn off all the fat that's now accumulating in the bodies because they can't control their appetite. But you need to do that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16, our very wise Solomon said, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness." So the appetite ought to simply fuel the body, not satisfy the taste buds only. In Proverbs chapter 23, Solomon cautioned men about being deceived by dainty food. And he said, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. In other words, he's saying, control your appetite, because kings and rulers use fancy food to convince other people to do business with them, and oftentimes they're deceived. Likewise, you can be deceived about what's going in your mouth. What's the third thing you should do? Besides seeking the kingdom of God first and controlling the appetite, learn to be content. Learn to be content. That seems to be a very hard thing for people these days. But it wasn't for Paul. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Conclusion, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So you need to learn to be content. Paul knew what it was to be full, and thank God when we can fill our belly with a good meal provided at the hand of God Almighty through the labor of our hands and the sweat of our brow. But there are times when you're hungry, and in those times God will use that hunger like he did in the life of the Jews and like he did in the life of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to teach you something. And when you're in those times, be content. And you may find that nutrition comes more as a result of spiritual well-being than even as much attention as being paid to physical well-being. Like Jesus said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish this work."
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.